Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Health Ministry has activated a coronavirus risk map identifying the risk of COVID-19 in various districts. Vice President of the European Commission for Values and Transparency, Věra Jourová, has warned against the coronavirus disinformation being spread around Europe. And the 10th edition of Prague Pride, a festival celebrating LGBT culture, gets underway in the Czech capital on Monday, largely online. The Health Ministry has activated a coronavirus risk map identifying the risk of COVID-19 in various districts. The new code system, which is designed as a pandemic plan, reflects the spread of the virus in different districts and spells out specific public health measures as well as instructions to hospitals with regard to readiness for patient influxes. The districts are rated according to a number of criteria, among them community transmission numbers. The system uses four colours, red denoting widespread community transmissions, orange some risk of community transmissions, green contained local outbreaks, and white a minimal risk. At this stage, no Czech district is marked red or orange. Vice President of the European Commission for Values and Transparency, Věra Jourová, has warned against the coronavirus disinformation being spread around Europe. In an interview for IHNET, Ms. Jourová said the various fake news being spread online, such as claims that drinking disinfectant or alcohol are a form of protection against COVID-19, or that washing one's hands is no good, are a danger to public health. She particularly warned against the efforts of anti-vaccine activists to put people off getting vaccinated against the coronavirus once a vaccine is available, saying such campaigns are extremely dangerous. Jourová noted that already around 20% of Germans said they would refuse such a vaccine. The 10th edition of Prague Pride, a festival celebrating LGBT culture, gets underway in the Czech capital on Monday. The week-long festival traditionally offers over 100 events, although many of them have had to be moved online this year due to coronavirus restrictions. The organisers have promised 5 hours of live broadcasts a day and rainbow-lit buildings throughout the Czech Republic. The motto of the festival is Prague Pride Connects Us Live. The traditional Prague Pride parade through the city centre, which is the highlight of the week-long festival, has been replaced by a boat trip down the Vltava River. Thomas Schäfer, who heads the South African branch of the Volkswagen Group, has been elected the new head of Škoda Auto, the CTK news agency reported on Monday. He will replace Bernhard Meyer, who is leaving his post after less than 5 years. Meyer's time at the helm is described as the golden years in the brand's 125-year history, during which the carmaker broke almost all sales records. Škoda, which is part of the Volkswagen Group, was hard hit by the coronavirus crisis, posting a 33% drop in sales in the first half of this year. A study by scientists from Brno's Mendel University regarding food waste has revealed that people waste far more food than previously thought. Earlier conclusions based on polls said people in this country throw out approximately 4.5 kilos of food a year. But the team of Brno scientists, who sifted through 900 garbage cans in Brno to get a more accurate picture, say people in the city each waste 37.4 kilos of food a year. The result is reportedly applicable to the whole of the Czech Republic. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Tuesday should bring overcast skies and rain around the country, with day temperatures between 18 and 22 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hi there, listener. This is Radio Prague International, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, the 10th Prague Pride takes a slightly different form and highlights the plight of the LGBT community elsewhere in the region. A Czech zoo begins breeding rare maneless zebras. And later, we meet one of the food bloggers known as Las Saboritas to discuss all things culinary in Prague, including how the city's dining scene has been hit by the coronavirus crisis. All that's coming up in today's program. 2020 Prague Pride Festival of LGBT culture, which got underway on Monday, is somewhat different than previous editions, with no city centre parade and fewer foreign visitors. But the organisers have still put together a packed programme for this year's event, which boasts a record number of venues. And just before it all began, I asked Prague Pride spokesman Philip Milda about the theme this year, which is Pride Live.
This means that the festival will connect us truly live, because it's for the first time in our history that we will have live streamings of our events that are happening during the festival. So things are happening live, where people can go out and meet in person, but they will be also happening online, where they will be broadcasted live every day from 4 p.m. till 9 p.m. Discussions and workshops and interviews will be broadcasted live on this Pride stream.
This year, for the first time, there's no Pride parade, but I understand you're holding some kind of substitute event on Saturday.
Yes. The Pride Parade is cancelled because of security measures and corona epidemics. But we are having a Pride cruise afternoon. There will be rainbow boats floating on Vltava River from 1 o'clock till 6 p.m. And during this time, people are welcomed to organize a picnic along the river, so at Smíchov or in Pride Village or in Žluté Lázně. People can go out and have picnics.
And how much is this year's Pride, which is the 10th, how much is it being impacted by the COVID situation?
Is pretty much impacted because the work on the festival starts pretty much 2 weeks after each festival ends. So we had to start from scratch in March or in April, where the epidemic hit the country or the whole world. So we had to come up with a new team, come up with a new structure. We decided that we want to broadcast events online just in case the whole festival will be cancelled. So we wanted to give people the opportunity to still enjoy the festival, but only online. And we also have to make sure that we will have certain amount of people on certain events.
Well, I guess also it means that you can't have the usual number of foreign visitors.
Yes, we also don't have a large number of foreign guests. They will be joining us online again, mostly. But we are also trying to focus on neighboring countries, on our neighbors, and we want to invite people from Germany or from Austria or from Poland or from Slovakia, where is it much easier for them to come and join the festival.
Well, the LGBT community have faced a lot of pressure in some other countries in the region, specifically Poland and Hungary. Does that give an added impetus to the Prague Pride to be visible and to reach a lot of people?
This is actually one of many of our events, the theme of the situation of LGBT people in the Visegrad's four countries. We have debates with people who are organizing Pride festivals. The discussion is called How is it to organize Pride when your life is being threatened? So we are really trying to involve people from our neighboring countries and show solidarity and also share their stories about what's the situation right now, mainly in Poland, where things are really getting much, much, much worse.
And I was speaking there to Philip Milda, the spokesperson of the Prague Pride Festival. The zoo in Pilsen has recently launched a breeding program of the critically endangered maneless zebra. There are currently only around 40 of these animals in zoos around the world, most here in the Czech Republic or in Slovakia. The aim of the breeding program is to secure the survival of the species by building a viable captive population, as Ruth Frankova has been finding out.
The maneless zebra, a highly endangered subspecies of the plains zebra, looks almost like its relative. However, at the age of 2 or 3 years, the animals shed their manes. There are currently only around 300 maneless zebras living in the wild in the grasslands and savanna woodlands in north and northeast Uganda, explains Tomáš Jirásek of Plzeň Zoo.
The only known population of the wild maneless zebra is located in the Kidepo National Park in the north of Uganda. There are between 200 and 300. Another 40 or so have been recently spotted in the nearby Pian Upe Reserve. Some animals might also be living in the border area in South Sudan. But due to the political situation there and the safety risks, we don't have enough information. The maneless zebra population has been brought to the brink of extinction, mainly due to poaching and the loss of natural habitat caused by grazing.
There are currently only around 40 maneless zebras living in captivity in 11 zoos around the world. The captive breeding program was established back in 1969 by the Dvor Kralove Safari Zoo, which was the first to import the maneless zebras from Africa. These 10 zebras captured in the wild are the ancestors of today's entire zoo population. The zoo in Plzeň is phasing out the breeding of another subspecies known as Chapman zebras in order to dedicate more space to maneless zebras, says Tomáš Jirásek.
We joined the initiative of the Dvor Králové and Liberec zoos, and together with the zoos in Prague and Košice, we want to create a sufficient space for breeding this subspecies. Just like with other animals, we want to use our breeding capacity to save the animals, which are endangered both in nature and in captivity.
At the moment, there are 3 maneless zebras in Plzeň Zoo. The 2 adult females and a stallion arrived a few weeks ago from a Polish zoo and hopefully will soon produce some foals.
At the moment, we want to stabilize the population of maneless zebras in zoological gardens around Europe, and we will, of course, continue to monitor the situation in the wild. If there's a need in the future to enlarge wild herds in Africa or to establish new ones, maybe some of our animals could be eventually released into the wild, but there's still a long way to go. And that was Tomáš Jirásek of Plzeň Zoo, ending that report by my colleague Ruth Frankova. Now, in the final part of our program today, my guest is food blogger Anna Hernandez-Blackstad, who, as you'll hear, knows a lot about the Prague restaurant scene. Under the name Las Saboritas, Anna Hernandez-Blackstad and Alison Maciewski have done over 300 Twitter reviews of Prague restaurants in the last couple of years. Earlier in 2020, the pair's activities were temporarily curtailed by the closure of all restaurants during the lockdown. And when I spoke to Hernandez-Blackstad, much of the conversation focused on how the coronavirus situation is impacting the city's dining scene. What led you and Alison, who unfortunately can't be with us today, to start doing reviews of Prague restaurants?
Yeah, we both have a love of food, and we became friends over Twitter, actually. And we would WhatsApp each other as we were dining out, and we would say, oh, this pho restaurant is serving lemon instead of lime. And we just realized we both had a kind of similar view on food. And then we thought, well, why don't we share our observations about all of the places that we're dining with other English speakers, because we couldn't really find that much content other than a few Twitter accounts that we followed. So we thought, let's just try it and see if anybody else is interested in our reviews. That was in fall of 2018, and now we're almost at 600 Twitter followers. And now we're writing for expats.cz. So I think people are starting to hear about us, and I think for the expat community, they want that kind of content in English.
Also, I guess it kind of, in a way, the fact that you're always going to new places, it must force you to get out of your neighborhood and go to different parts of the city.
Definitely, yeah. I rarely go someplace twice because of the Las Saboritas Twitter account. It forces us to try new places. Exactly what you said, get out of our comfort zone, check out new restaurants, new neighborhoods.
Why are you called Las Saboritas?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Alison and I both have a Latina background, and in Spanish, sabor means flavor or taste, and ita is like the feminine ending to a word. So like chiquita, you may have heard that word. And so we just added ita to sabor and we became las saboritas.
You've reviewed close to 300 spots. Generally, how do you view the standard of dining in Prague?
We're actually over 320 now. Allison and I both have had the opportunity to travel internationally so we can compare Prague restaurants with other cities. And I would say that there are some restaurants that are doing amazing things and there are some restaurants that are doing kind of what it takes to get by. And I feel like they could do better.
If you give somebody a negative review, do they ever contact you or try to make amends or something like that?
So far, no. And I think that a lot of restaurants probably don't know that we're out there. I've had a few quite passionate supporters of restaurants defend their favorites, which is great because that means that people are, you know, taking the time to be interested in food and they've said maybe you should go back and try again or go to a different location and see if the experience is different.
I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will be wondering, do they like Czech cuisine?
Yes, actually, we do like Czech cuisine. And what we've developed in the time that we've been here is an appreciation for the nuances of Czech cuisine. One restaurant's pork knuckle is not the same as another. Same with goulash, same with švicková, all of the other specialties. And so I think what we've realized is that there's a lot more nuance and flavor and expertise when you go to a Czech restaurant that does Czech food really well. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a fancy one in Old Town. It can be your local neighborhood place, but if they take care and do it properly, I think Czech food can be wonderful.
And have you got a favorite dish?
I'm a big fan of šmazený sýr, which I know that a lot of people consider nursery food, but oh my gosh, fried cheese. What's not to like about fried cheese?
I love it, like, but once a year, maybe twice a year.
Yeah, it's, but you know, we love our mozzarella sticks in the States, and so that to me is kind of the closest thing. So yeah, it's not an everyday thing, but when it's done right, it can be a real treat.
It has to ooze. It can't just sit there.
It has to ooze. It can't be rubbery. It can't be a hockey puck.
As well as doing individual reviews of places, you do kind of roundups of different types of restaurants. Mm-hmm. Have any of those pieces of yours got a particularly strong response?
Yeah, the Mexican food article. Something about Mexican food, people love it and have their favorites. And so that one got the most traffic and the most discussion on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
I read that some time ago, but I forget. Where did you recommend as being a relatively good Mexican place?
We definitely like Los Alebrijes, which is just off Uyezd. We recently discovered Chile y Limón, La Patrona. So the good news is that there's competition, which I think helps elevate the overall quality of Mexican food in Prague.
Say if a new place opens, would you want to go there like immediately or do you wait for a while or does that matter to you at all?
On one hand, I like to break news of new places and be in on the ground floor, so to speak, and help promote, especially if it's a really new concept or a great story behind the team that's opening this place. On the other hand, yeah, like I think you're getting at is that it might be a little uneven at the beginning as they're getting their legs under them. So there may be some growing pains. And from time to time, we do go back to places and check and see if it's different than the first time.
After the lockdown began, after this country was hit by the coronavirus crisis, I read some pieces about how in future, when there wouldn't be tourists here, that a lot of Czech kind of high-end restaurants would have to refocus and shift their attention and try to attract Czech diners, maybe have cheaper meals. Is that actually happening?
That's happening at some places. Actually, the first restaurant that Allison and I went to after the restrictions were lifted was Field Restaurant, which has a Michelin star. Pre-lockdown, we never could have afforded to eat there. And so after lockdown, they introduced a new lunch menu with a special price, and we were able to go and experience that level of fine dining, which was great. Less tourists means that some restaurants are going to have to focus more on repeat customers and not on the ones that just come once and leave, because word will start to get around about the quality of the food or the overall experience. The other thing that I would be concerned with if I were a restaurant owner in Prague is duplication of offerings, because, you know, you can't throw a stone in Prague without finding the restaurant that has the duck breast, the pork knee, the švicková, the goulash. So I think that those restaurants that are able to differentiate themselves from the competition are going to have a leg up, not just during a lockdown or when tourists are limited, but anytime, because people are looking for new dining experiences that they can't have back home.
Also during the lockdown, one very familiar sight was these food delivery guys, the Vault, whatever they're called, other food delivery companies. People said at that time that delivery was kind of here to stay, but also delivery, you're basically missing out on going to a restaurant, which of course is part of the whole deal. Do you think delivery is kind of here to stay in a big way, or will it fade away as people get the confidence to go back to restaurants?
I think delivery is here to stay. The reason I say that is because I think as this virus ebbs and flows, which seems to be, it's going to be with us for a while, right? And so there'll be periods of increased precaution and less precaution, and I think people still want to have those food experiences even if it's not in a restaurant. I think this because of some of the partnerships that I'm seeing, like with grocery delivery companies. So restaurants who were never on Wold or Dame Yidlo before, or you'd never see them on Rolik, are there now offering their food. And so I think all the restaurants are looking for ways to diversify, and I think delivery is a natural for that. At first, I think people were really worried about having food brought in from the outside, but I think as we experienced it more and more, people became comfortable with it, and now I think it's just a daily part of life. One thing I noticed on Rolik is that Eska, which is of course a very kind of famous restaurant here in Prague, is offering their Schunkelflecki pasta, egg, and ham dish is selling for 279 crowns per portion. But you don't have the experience of being at Eska. I would just be curious to know how that's going. Are people actually spending that much for one portion of food without having everything else that goes with it?
That's my attitude to all of these takeout places. Even if it's just a burger, I like going to the place. I like going out of my home and going to a nice place where I get treated nicely, ideally.
Yeah, and in some ways, ordering in is more expensive because depending on which service you're using, they might add on a delivery fee. Some have out of the local neighborhood fee that they tack on, plus then you're tipping, etc. So in some ways, it can be even more expensive than going in person. And some food doesn't travel all that well. So when it arrives at your place, it doesn't resemble what you would see if you actually were there in person. So I think people are either finding the convenience to be worth it, or they're watching their favorite show or their favorite movie on TV while they're eating. They don't have to pay for a babysitter. I'm not really sure what all the reasons are, but in my household, a lot of it is convenience. They're bringing it to me. I don't have to get dressed. I don't have to go out. I don't have to ride the tram, whatever. And I get to control the experience a little bit more.
We're at Cafe Slavia, which I've never seen so empty.
Yep.
Recently, I went to a restaurant, and we were the only people in it on a Saturday night. Our place is still really quiet.
I think it really varies on the neighborhood, the time of day. Any place that has a garden or a terrace, those places are full. People are wanting to eat outside, and I think it's because that's part of summer in Prague, but also because of maybe increased fears about the virus. So I think any place that has outdoor dining has a big advantage. But yeah, I do wonder how those restaurants are going to stay in business in the long run if they're not bringing in repeat business. And it is sad to see a fully staffed restaurant with one or two diners there.
Many things are very uncertain right now. Just if you could speculate, how do you think the Prague dining scene will look in, I don't know, a year from now?
I would say that those restaurants that are in groups, like Ambiente Group or some of the other ones, that can help out some of the struggling places will continue to do well. I think the mom-and-pop one-off restaurants, if they don't have a pretty sizable bank account, will have a hard time weathering the uncertainties. I mean, the last lockdown, we had reservations for brunch on Saturday. And, you know, Friday, I think the restrictions came out and said no more dining in restaurants. And so it's so unpredictable. But I would hope that diners will continue to patronize their favorites.
My very final question. What is your favorite restaurant in Prague?
Oh, God, that's a tough one. That's like naming my favorite child. Good thing I don't have children. So a big favorite of mine is QQ Asian Kitchen. I think they have fantastic food. The owners are warm and friendly. You feel special eating there. The service is wonderful, and I think you get amazing value for your money. So that one is always really high on my list. They do fantastic sort of Asian fusion food. It's not gimmicky, it's just delicious.
Anna Hernandez-Blackstad, who I interviewed last week at Prague's Café Slavia. And that loud noise you probably heard at some points in the interview was trams going by. You can follow Anna and her friend as Las Saboritas on Twitter. But I'm afraid that's all we have time for today on Radio Prague International. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and speak to you again very soon.